The epistle for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from Romans chapter 12. Brethren, be not wise in your own deceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, Revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 8. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See, thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion, making answer, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. Please be seated. Look mercifully upon our weakness. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this third Sunday after the Epiphany, these words are taken from the Collect of the Mass. Asking God to look mercifully upon our own weaknesses. The weaknesses that we have, that we struggle with, we do. We beseech Almighty God to help us with that. And that is something that, by trying to frequent confession, trying to see the weaknesses that we have, that is how we will be able to root them out. Also, this coming Tuesday, we have the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. St. Paul is one that I think is a great saint for us to look to. Because with St. Paul, we have the famous words of St. Paul that he says, I will glorify in my infirmities. Mention again this idea of the weaknesses that we have. And when he says that we will glorify in our weaknesses, he is only meaning to us that through the weaknesses that we have, the faults, it will help us to rely more upon Almighty God. It will help us to turn toward God because of these weaknesses that we have. And so when the collect of today's Mass mentions that idea of looking mercifully upon our weaknesses, we are beseeching Almighty God to give us the graces that we need to help us to overcome the weaknesses that we have. And as I say, with St. Paul himself, this example of his conversion, we have the famous story of his conversion, of where he was riding on a horse and knocked off of it. And the voice of our Lord comes to him and says, Saul, why do you persecute me? And at that point, Saul, he was persecuting this new church. He thought he was doing what was right by the persecution of this band of Christians. And so our Lord explained to him that what he was doing was wrong. He explained to him that He was attacking our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord beseeching him to stop, and our Lord encouraging him that he had great plans for St. Paul. And that is with the conversion of him. I've taught in church history to my students. We can also say that maybe the first graces that St. Paul received were at the stoning of St. Stephen. Don't forget that Saul was present at that moment when they stoned St. Stephen, the first martyr, the first one to die for the faith. That he had held all the cloaks of those that stoned St. Stephen. So in that way, he gave consent to what they were doing. But witnessing St. Stephen and the conviction that he had could have brought about the first graces of his conversion. And so then when our Lord tells him, you know, why do you persecute me? Why do you kick against the goad? That St. Paul was so willing to listen to our Lord. Because think about it and see that St. Paul thought what he was doing was right. And he wanted to serve God. And he thought by persecuting this new religion, he was doing that. And yet immediately when our Lord said to St. Paul, when he said to Saul at this point, when he says to him, you know, why do you persecute me? He asked, Lord, who are you? And so there is immediate grace that is given to St. Paul. As I say, maybe because of the witnessing of St. Stephen, that seed of grace was planted in him. So therefore, it would take fruition at when our Lord knocks him off his horse. And so from that, our Lord, he knocks him down, makes him blind, and tells him that he's going to become a vessel of election. And then when we see with the life of St. Paul, the willingness to suffer for our Lord, the willingness to go through all of these things for our Lord Jesus Christ, that St. Paul would become the apostle to the Gentiles. He would be this one that would convert the Gentile race. And that was how he was the vessel of election. He was elected by Almighty God to do so. And so God took him from the position that he had, one that knew the Old Testament, he knew all the prophecies, he had studied all of these things for so many years. But our Lord knew it would be very important to take this man and then to give him the task of being the apostle to the Gentiles, to go out and to convert these people. And so he would have to go out and to preach to them and to convince them that he is no longer with the Jewish religion, but he is with the religion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because for the people, that is something that they recognize. They said, this is the one that persecuted the church. This is the one that would go out and persecute the church. And so now we're supposed to listen to him. And so St. Paul had to overcome that in preaching to the people, gaining their confidence, trying to let them see by his words he was preaching our Lord. And he was preaching our Lord Christ crucified. And that would be the famous thing that St. Paul would continue to preach. This idea of suffering for Christ. This idea of seeing that the reality of the sufferings that we have, there are a means and a way for us to get to heaven. A while back, if you remember the words of St. Paul, the sufferings of this world are in nothing in comparison to the glory that is to come. And so the sufferings that we have, they are meant to bring us to this glory. And that is why in the Collect of the Mass, when we're asking God to look upon mercifully our weaknesses, it is with this intention, with this thing in mind, that the weaknesses that we have, the sufferings that we have, the crosses that we undergo, they are the very means and the vehicle that will get us to heaven. if we understand things properly. If we do live up to the words of St. Paul that he says, I will glorify in my infirmities. And that is what we must pray for. That is why I say with the conversion of St. Paul, this feast day on Tuesday, it should be a great consolation to us to see how God, yes, God selected this soul. God brought this soul out. But in a way, with the graces that God gives to all of us, God truly selects each and every one of us. God does the same thing for all of our souls. You know, granted, maybe he is not going to make us like St. Paul, an apostle, and going out to preaching to other people. But our Lord does want us, in a way, to be an apostle to other souls around us. By our example. By what we say, by what we do. But he wants us also, too, to help convert other people. And so that is why when we look at this great feast, it is not by coincidence that it follows upon the feast of St. Timothy, which is Monday. And so you have this disciple of St. Paul, and then immediately after you have the conversion of St. Paul. But Holy Mother of the Church gives us these two saints and the work that they did for the glory of God. And so that is something that we must contemplate. It is something that we must think about. How God, yes, he selected St. Paul. He brought him out from what he was doing to be truly this vessel of election. That he was chosen specifically by God for this task. But we must also see that God chooses all of us. God has chosen us to live up to our faith. The faith that we have been given and to be thankful for. That God will allow us to maybe help other souls that are around us. To see how our example can lead these people, to lead these souls toward Almighty God. And so that is why when we look at the saints, we should not just look at them in terms of, well, they were chosen by God to do all these things. They have the special graces. We can't reach that. Well, no, God gives us the saints to help us to live up to what he is calling us to. Because I think that's a cop-out when we say that. God has chosen every single one of us to become saints. And so therefore, then we must try to put that into practice. We must look and see the graces that God gives to us at every Mass, the graces that he gives to us through the sacraments, and it is meant to sanctify our soul. And to say that we can't reach, you know, this height of sanctity, well, God has chosen us for becoming a saint. And so then, in some ways, we're denying the power of Almighty God, that he can take these weak instruments that we are and not raise us up to heaven. And so just as he knocked St. Paul off his horse, God may do the same to us in a way. He may do things for us to wake up and to see that he is calling us to the sanctity, that he expects nothing less from us. And that is why our Lord has says, you know, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Yes, we can argue and say there's no way we can ever be as perfect as Almighty God. Granted. But why would our Lord say that to us? Why would our Lord encourage us to try to reach that sanctity, to reach that perfection, if it is not at least within our grasp? And so that is what we must strive for. That is what we must pray to St. Paul for that. Because our Lord continues to go on and he talks about St. Paul. And he mentions when St. Paul, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so clearly our Lord has elected St. Paul for this. He has chosen him for that. But our Lord has also done the same thing for us. Maybe not in the same capacity. But still, the sufferings and the things that we undergo, the crosses that we have, our Lord has chosen us to suffer those things in His name's sake. And so God has designated us with, yes, the crosses and trials that we will suffer in this life. And He wants us to suffer it for His name's sake. He wants us to realize that He is calling us to that sanctity because of these weaknesses, because of these faults, because of these crosses and trials. And so that is why with St. Paul we can glorify in our infirmities, because it brings us back to God. How sad it is for any of us to think that we can do it on our own strength. And so consider these things and pray for these things. Pray to St. Paul that we too receive this grace of conversion, that we see clearly that God is calling us to a sanctity. And that is something that, if you look at the Mass on Tuesday for St. Paul, one, the epistle goes through all of what he suffered for our Lord. I mean, seeing what St. Paul suffered, truly he lived up to that name of one that was willing to suffer all these things for God's sake. And his list is like a litany to see all of the things that he suffered for God. But none of it discouraged him. He continued on. He continued on serving Almighty God. And then it's interesting how you see in the gospel account that they use for that Mass. It is the question that St. Peter poses to our Lord, of basically asking our Lord, we've left everything for you. What are we going to receive? I mean, I think it's a human question that St. Peter raises to our Lord. It's like, look, we've given up everything for you. Will we receive anything for that? And our Lord says to him, you'll receive 100-fold in this life, but then life everlasting. Our Lord doesn't designate what the 100-fold is. He doesn't necessarily say it's money. Maybe 100-fold of sufferings and crosses. But the main part is what he says, the second half of that. I will give you life everlasting. And so truly, when we give everything to our Lord, that is what our Lord will offer to us. And it is not something that is meant just for the religious. Giving up everything for Almighty God is something that all of us are called to. And so do pray to St. Paul. Ask him for these graces. Ask him for the grace to truly convert. And then to live and to realize that the sufferings of this world are nothing in comparison to the glory that is to come. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.